This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Twins baseball tonight, 6:30. Pregame, 7 o'clock, they'll do it. News half hour before. Paul and Jordana take you up to that with some great guests. And the beat goes on News Talk 830 WCCO. Joining us now on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline, P.J. Hill, who I first saw when he was playing high school basketball at North. And this is a great story before we get into what's happened this summer. P.J. would be considered undersized by some. He didn't allow that to get in his way. Went to a junior college in Texas. And P.J., you pick up the pieces here, but as I recall, didn't you go to some kind of a showcase for junior college players, and that's where Ohio State found you?
Yes, I went to the Jerry Mullins camp. Thankfully, Mr. Jerry Mullins let me in. A guy got sick. I originally wasn't invited. Ended up going, playing phenomenal. Got a ton of offers from there, and Ohio State was one of them.
So you just blew up out of the blue, huh?
Yeah, zero to hero, overnight success.
But just think, so if a guy doesn't get sick, who knows, huh?
Right, that's it. That is it.
But the point is, if you want something in life, You have to be committed to it. You have to knock on doors. You have to say, man, call me if somebody gets sick. I'll do anything to get in there. You have to do that to be successful.
100%. One thing I think is always the key, you always must prepare as if the opportunity is coming, because you never want an opportunity to come and you not be prepared.
What was Ohio State like?
Oh, phenomenal, man. To get to play under Thad Matta, to play with players like Evan Turner, Costa Kufis, Dave Leidy, John Diebler, just phenomenal.
Yeah, and that campus had to be pretty alive, huh?
Oh, just, and then, you know, football at the time, you know, there was Troy Smith, Ted Ginn, James Laurinaitis, players of those like.
That's right, you had a Minnesota connection there.
Yeah, we did, man. James is a great guy. Still stay in touch with him from time to time, but yeah, so it was electric there at that time. Great years.
Now, you are ingratiated to this town, and you came back, and you live in the city, and you work for Wells Fargo as a financial planner now. And this summer, early summer, of course, when the peaceful protests, the riots, everything else, the looting took place, you and Royce White and some others organized what would be called a peaceful protest. Now, little did we know at the time, because we were all flying by the seat of our pants at the time, but the legs that would pick up and the steam that would pick up. And I can remember when you guys called me and you said, come on over and cover it. No, we're not telling anybody else, but we got this group of athletes that organized this protest. And I thought there'd be 200-300 people. I didn't anticipate there'd be thousands of people that would walk through downtown Minneapolis with you. Tell me first of all how you organized that and were able to get that kind of an outpouring kind of on the QT.
Yeah, I mean, all credit goes to Royce for calling and, you know, really, like, pushing. You know, we had a conversation. He said, PJ, man, I think us as athletes needs to use our voice to stand up. I totally agree with him. He said, PJ, I need you on the front line. You know, my gift, Max, is inspiring people, encouraging people, and just being able to articulate what people feel. And some people who may not have a voice, I have the platform. So we started off with us just 40 athletes. We thought it was going to be a couple hundred people. We're going to march. Ended up being 10,000-15,000 for several marches. So it was a phenomenal turnout. We've seen the best of humanity, people coming from all different races, just trying to move the ball forward for humanity.
Now, in the midst of all that, and if you people might recall some of the coverage, this was the guy with the three-piece suit, PG. And I interviewed you several times during it, and you told me later that took on a life of its own for you and your world, because so much of this stuff, people here didn't realize, but it was going national, and it was going viral, and people were seeing these things, and then they're calling you because they see you on the air, and all these things because of the way it was being transmitted online and through CBSN. How did your life change in the weeks after that and to this date?
Oh, man, my life changed. I was on 60 Minutes with Justice Alan Page, and Joe Biden, of the likes of some of, you know, just the pioneers of that, had meetings with Reverend Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, with all BBN, just all over the place, man. You know, really standing up for our people, trying to represent the community. I never claimed to be, you know, a formal activist. I'm just a member of the community, want to bring resources. And I've just, you know, been there, you know, on the front lines, advocating for people, trying to get resources. And now, as we transition into things, I think the next thing for me is like getting people out to vote, you know, using their power to vote. It's not only our right, but it's our duty. So just planning voting events that's coming up in September, along with, like, you know, the Timberwolves and other Minneapolis Foundation and other great organizations like the Poland Foundation. We're all going to link up, do a great voter registration, and try to get people out and to use their power to vote.
And one of the things that you told me was, you know, you're working at Wells Fargo. People think that maybe is a button-down banker's conservative place. Your boss reached out to you and said, PJ, what do you need? What did that mean to you?
It meant a lot. It meant a lot. My boss is Chris Murphy, has been phenomenal, has been behind me, has supported me, and really wants to see change. And what I understand is, fighting for change looks different for everybody. Some people may be on the front lines like myself, actually protesting and being in the community. And for other people, for what it looks like for him is just supporting, giving me the ability to truly be myself and to speak up for what I believe is right and what's important for me.
And through that comes interesting conversations. How many conversations have you had with people that really didn't understand the urban, the inner city, the reason that you had this voice or frustration? How many times have you been able to converse with people, not in a bad way, not in an antagonistic way, but in a here's where I'm coming from, what questions do you have for me?
Man, plenty of times. I actually did a call with a bunch of advisors from Abbott Downing, Private Wealth, and just really talk to them about the struggles of the inner city. And I think most people don't truly understand until somebody they know go through it, and I can articulate it in a way that's like, wow, things are really happening, and I just am not privy to it. So having those good conversations, I think those conversations spark a lot of change, and it allows people to go back to their families who I may not ever get a chance to talk to, and go back to their communities and keep those conversations going and to bring some of these issues to light.
You know Akbar, right, from Roosevelt as well?
Yep.
And from Southside. And he and I had an interesting conversation. I've had a lot of interesting dialogue since this all transpired. One of the things that he told me was, he says, you look at the guys, many of them that are leading the Athletes March, and he says they've got an advantage that we need to talk about too that we're not talking enough about. And he said in the inner city, that is P.J. Hill, he pointed out, and Lawrence McKenzie and others, they had their dad at home. And that makes a big difference. Your dad, Paul Hill, is not going to take a lot of guff from a lot of people. You know what I'm saying, PJ?
No, for
your
sure.
Father. And he said, we need to talk more about that, the fatherless homes and how that leads to in the city. Can you expand on that a little bit and maybe how fortunate you probably feel and the difference that makes?
Man, it makes a huge difference. So I'm one of eight siblings, and I think it was because I had my dad. That's why I succeeded in life, because I had a lot of friends that I grew up with, that I played AAU basketball with, who didn't have a dad, and my dad was like their father figure. You know, my dad grew up in a fatherless home, and what he told me, he's like, you know, PJ, all I wanted to ever do is just be there for my kids, because that's what I miss. And I think that leaves a huge gap in the minority community, having the fathers, you know, absent from the home, because you need that guidance. A lot of our black men are locked up. And so, you know, just trying to rebuild that family structure and give balance is, you know, one thing we're really doing. That's why I give back to the community, to be that advocate, to be that role model that a lot of our younger, you know, kids from the community can look up to and say, I may not have a dad in my life, but, you know I can be like PJ Hill. I can not only be a professional athlete, but I can be a businessman. I can do other things. I think seeing is believing. So that's why I spend so much time giving back and showing my face, you know, so they can see that it's possible.
PJ, one of the people that you know well is a guy by the name of Sam Willis.
Yeah.
And Sudden Sam was a great player at Roosevelt. He came from Chicago for his senior year and played on a great basketball team. I always tell him the best that never made the state tournament with John Thomas and Bebop Walker and Robert Mestis, that whole gang. But he is now opening a place. It's called Just Turkey, which is a chain. And by chance, he procured the place back in 2019. It's a half a block off of 38th in Chicago, literally, where George Floyd's life was taken, obviously, and we all know what's transpired since. And so he's sitting there with this franchise that he's going to open. Part of it is it's healthy food in an area that he says needs healthy food that tastes good. What does that do if he can be successful at that? What does that do in African-American? And by the way, his father, Sharif Willis, is renowned in these parts because he's done so much time as a gang leader. He's now out working in a ministry. So he had a father figure in his life, but much different than most, because not only was he in prison, incarcerated, but he was very, very well known. When you look at Sam trying to do that, what does it mean for him to be successful? What will it mean if he is successful?
It'll mean a lot. You know, Sam is a phenomenal guy. He's had a big impact on me. Obviously, a person of my stature, and to achieve the things that I have done, it takes a village. You need not just your father, but you need a ton of other guys, a Chris Carr, a Randy Carter, a bunch of guys like that, a Sam Willis, a Khalid El-Amin, people to pour into you. But to see those same guys who have made it to a tremendous status or a tremendous level in athletics now to come back to the community and be a small business owner, to show the kids in the community that our young black kids, our brown and black kids, can be more than just entertainers or athletes. You can be business owners. You can be lawyers. You can be doctors. You can be financial advisors like I am. So I think that that's what it does. It gives hope. It's a beacon of hope.
What do you think prohibits hope? What do you think is the number one thing between, because it's not a lack of talent, it's not a lack of intellect, it's not a lack of any of the resources that by human nature we grow up with, etc. To me, it's generally speaking, it's because they don't believe they can do it. What holds them back the most or suppresses that thought the most?
I think there's a couple things. You know, I'm not an expert on this, but I think exposure. When you have exposure to people and to environments and opportunities where people pour into you and give you hope, then it changes your outlook. Like I've had my mother and father. Now, they never graduated from college. I was the first generation to graduate from college. But they exposed me to so many things, and that's what gave me hope. And so, you know, when we talk about the young kids in the community, is giving them exposure to things that will give them hope, because you never know what you can be good at. So having people there who believe in you, who've been to where you want to be to, and then able to be there and walk you through it, to mentor you and then sponsor you, I think that is what changes, you know, a generation, a community, a neighborhood, everything.
I appreciate you, sir. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you, Mike.
We'll talk soon, okay?
Talk soon, brother.
PJ Hill.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.